I just get you on my headphones.
Okay, Phillip's tuned in. Phillip, can you hear us now? Where were we? We were in a convenience store, I think, or somewhere. Now where are we? This is fun. Now I'm imagining us as the little phone. You and me, Savas, we're in his pocket or something?
Yeah, maybe.
This is fun. We're like the, what was that? They made it into a Miyazaki movie. The Borrowers. That's me and you, Savas. We're tiny little people.
I know, right?
In his pocket. Where are we going next? Ooh, this is fun. We're like in a, let's listen. Oh, we're in a rainstorm. We can hear you now, Philip. Are we on your headphones?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Is anyone there?
Can you hear us? Come in, Philip. We're inside your pocket. Oh, I don't think his headphones work. Because I can hear us still through the speaker.
Yeah.
So he's got the headphones in his ears, and he can't hear us coming out the bottom of the phone. This is very strange. Well, you know what? Philip will eventually figure it out, and you and I will talk, Savas.
All right.
Philip, if you're listening, please type into the message bar when you get a hold of us. This is so weird. Hey, welcome everyone to the Galactic Stars Online Film Festival. We call it that because this is an international film festival, and we get to pretty much be galactic. We get to talk to people from all around the world, as demonstrated by me and Savas being the Borrowers, or what was the other one with little people Jonathan Swift wrote, where they were little people, and they were tiny, like 4-inch people. Gulliver's Travels. That's me and you, Savas.
Yeah, traveling
in the pocket of Philip. But
there is this new movie of Alexander Payne that's coming out now.
Ooh.
That are little people. I don't remember the name.
Well, I have to. That sounds good. You know, I saw The Borrowers with me. I'm a big Miyazaki fan, but it didn't hit me, The Borrowers. I don't know why. I don't know. It didn't do it. But I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember that the Jack Black Gulliver's Travels was pretty good with the tiny little people.
Yeah, that was really good. I liked it a lot.
And you know what? Here's a little movie fact. While we're if you want to join this festival, we are now open for submissions again. You can go to Film Freeway and look up Boston Galactic Stars and get a chance to talk with us. But Savas, before we get into the meat of the conversation, I just got hold on. I'm communicating with Philip in our little Borrowers language. You can hear us. Type in the chat. Okay. I'm a big fan of the Night at the Museum series. I think it's got a lot of really like, comic heavyweights and people I really, really like. Owen Wilson, Ben Stiller, who's a great sketch comedian in addition to
Steve Carell.
Not Steve Carell, no. They didn't get him into that thing. The British actor, I'll remember it in a second. Steve Coogan. So Coogan, and it's just got and Ricky Gervais, all these powerhouse. So then I buy this DVD, and that has little people in it. Steve Coogan and Owen Wilson play tiny little figures, and it's really well lit, and they look tiny, and that you know they do like one source lighting, so it looks like they're an inch tall. But I get the movie. And I'm a big fan of audio commentaries. Do you listen to audio commentaries or bonus features a lot?
Sometimes I do, yeah.
Well, this I got the pleasure of. It was directed by this guy, and he did some good commentaries. But the bigger pull is that the writers of Night at the Museum are the same people who created Reno 911.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they wrote it, and it's their commentary on the track is so funny. They at one point encourage little kids to get dressed up and put on outfits so that they can hide inside the Museum of Natural History. It's a really great, fun movie.
Yeah.
But it reminded me of Little People. We'll check in one more time with Phil. Philip?
Yep, I'm here. Yep.
Oh, we got
– All right.
That was – Very exciting, Philip.
I'm listening to you guys. Yeah.
Did you know that Night at the Museum was written by the guys who wrote Reno 911?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
So let's get down to business here. Since Savas has been here patiently letting me talk and waiting for you. Savas, why don't you tell us about the film you entered into the festival?
So my short film, the name is A Scream That's Trapped Inside. It's a short drama horror.
Yeah, so go on. Tell us. Don't spoil anything, but tell us a little bit about the plot and maybe its inspirations. I'm kind of blown away by people who do horror. I'm working on a horror film for someone else right now, and I've done a few over the years, and I don't know. I just don't have it in me, and I feel like there's always a specific inspiration. So Savas, tell us a little bit about it. Obviously, don't spoil anything, but tell us about where it goes and where it came from.
So it's pretty much a simple story in a really hard kind of way of telling it. It's pretty much an unfaithful wife that she comes back home from her husband's funeral to pretty much experience a mind game full of guilt, she gets into the apartment and memories, thoughts, and self-criticism messing with her head, and that's when she experienced the paranormal kind of situation, and everything happens in her mind. So I pretty much wanted to tell a story about a person that cheated on her loved one, and then everything what's going on in her mind, then guilt.
So that's a very, very dark place. Did that come from anything?
Maybe personal experiences, maybe, I just wanted to go somewhere deep and try to, to challenge myself. It was really hard to write it and really hard to explain it to everybody on set and to my actors, but Birgit Ludemann, that she's the lead, she understands everything. She also said, all right, let's do this, let's do that. It was a really fun collaboration,
So when you say challenge yourself, what do you mean by that? Because that can mean a lot of things to a lot of different filmmakers. As simple as I want to do a script that involves a lot of off-screen audio can be a challenge to a filmmaker. What were the challenges you were putting to yourself?
It's pretty much, it has a storyline, but it's all about, flashbacks and imagination, but it actually happens in real life time, But I mixed everything together and it was difficult to capture that, it's because there is no lines in the movie, there is only voiceover, and I'm trying to make audience to follow what's going on,
really, because it's a story of this is funny, there's sort of a theme with the people we've talked to is there's this thing of reality and what's in your mind has sort of been a theme throughout the festival. A lot of the films are on sessions we haven't that you're not on were about reality and what's in the mind. Like, for example, we lost Philip again in the call here. Is Philip real? Are we just imagining Philip? There's a chance we are. I feel like he's been a good sport. I might have to try and just tell you about his film. I'll read some of his stuff if we can't get him, but it's been a theme. And I guess I'm trying to really get to the heart of this with people, because it doesn't seem like anyone wants to explain it. What's the element? Because this is just the same. I was about to ask it the exact same way I asked it before. So let's think of a new way to ask it.
I think that
what part of reality do you feel is bending for you that you felt this need to create this story about reality bending? What part of reality is do you question that makes you want to make a story like this?
Well, to be honest, it's we live in nowadays that it's everything with technology, everybody meet people with Tinder and all that stuff, and it's very easy to cheat to your loved one, so as I as I leave.
And to cheat reality to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because, cheating is a bending of reality. You can tell me if I'm on the right track. Like, cheating is not only in a monogamous relationship or in any relationship where you've said you're not going to sleep with someone else or be with someone else. It's a reality bending because you have to lie when you're with them. But now it's so easy to create a dating profile or any profile and just say, okay, well, I'm this person. And it's wrong. Yeah, it's not exactly. Reality.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't like the idea of people bragging doing this. You know, I cheated on my girlfriend. You know, that is so dark for me. So I created something to show to the audience.
That is very dark. I don't know people that do that, but that is quite dark.
I know it is. So I wanted to create this situation so people can watch the movie and understand why it's so wrong, you know? Because it's the movie, it's so dark and it's all in her head from the angle, and it's a POV, you know? You can feel what she feels. So I guess my point is to make people don't do it, you know?
Yeah, because I think that we always like that, the comeuppance of the person cheating in a movie. That's a classic trope, but it's a different way to twist it and say, you know, this is quite literally a haunting that you know, that revenge. There's revenge happening on you.
Yeah.
Well, we've officially lost Philip. I don't know what happened. But his movie was really interesting. And I think as a tribute to Philip, and maybe I'll try and get him to send me some audio on his own. I will read. It's, you know, I can't just play the whole movie, but I'll read the description of it. Peter is a surveillance researcher from the U.S. who left his position at a highly decorated facility back home to pursue his project of reflective surveillance and pitch it to as many institutions as possible to fund his project. Now, working at a different institution in Australia alongside another researcher, Bridget, they continue to convince their supervisor to fund their extensive research. As they develop a system, a number of unseen anomalies arise, which cause a major accident. Yeah, it's I wish Philip was here to talk about it, but maybe we'll have him come in and talk about it. But the name of the film is The Parallel, and his name is Philip Nash, and he lives in Australia, and he may be fake. We don't know. I'm trying to see. And you can actually
he lives in a parallel universe, you know.
He might. I mean, honestly, that's what I'm thinking here, is that maybe he was the victim of his own story in this, and that he went into this, like Videodrome, he went into the screen and he got capped. Oh my gosh, what if I turn off my computer and Phillips?
You know, maybe we are the sequel, you know?
Yes, and that he's sort of doing a kind of real life directing. He's sort of getting a performance for us. But his name is the name of the movie is The Parallel, and I'm trying to find if he has maybe a website listed on here, but okay. We'll get Philip to send me some audio. But I guess we'll talk a little bit more between me and you, Savas, just so we can get that out of the way in case Philip comes back. What are you working on next?
So I'm currently in development of my first feature movie.
Wow, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I already have my second draft of the script.
I've said this twice now because another filmmaker was talking about writing their first feature. I guess I should explain to people listening that don't know what a feature is. A feature is a film generally over 72 minutes, which means your screenplay is going to be, at the least, you're going to be writing a 65 to 80 page screenplay at minimum. I mean, that's at minimum. So essentially this person is writing a children's novel, you know, the length of a children's novel, about 100 pages of writing, just as draft one. And then, you know, so a feature length film is what you would see in big theaters and made from big studios. So it's a very big accomplishment, because I realized I hadn't explained why I say congratulations to people. That's a very big accomplishment to have written a whole feature at all.
It's quite hard, you know. it's a very big challenge, but it's fun. It's always fun to write about anything, even short, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
can you say what it's about, or you're not comfortable saying that yet?
No, yeah, I can say. So pretty much it's a psychological drama thriller and a little bit horror. You know, it has horror elements. It's about Lily, a 16-year-old kidnapped victim, who pretty much she must fight her 50-year-old delusional captor. His name is Evan. And she's trying to escape from the isolated cabin that she's been held hostage. Now she ran away from her parents because she was being abused. So she quickly winds up helpless in the middle of nowhere until she sees Evan isolated cabin. So the trick here is that Evan holds her there because his real daughter, Catherine, ran away a year ago. So his mind adopts the idea that Lily is his real daughter.
That's out of the frying pan and into the fire, as we say. That's very scary. That's a great concept, this idea of shifting from one place to the next. You know, the thing about horror that I really love is this idea that at any point, you as the writer of horror can just crush the little character. And so I always see the characters in horror as sort of these clay models, that they're these fragile little things and that they're kind of moving from place to place. And there's this sense of keeping them safe for enough time and not safe. And are they safe at all? And it's to me, the device of safety and is danger is really interesting. So I'd be excited to see that. Do you have a name for it yet?
Yeah, it's a working title, but I say now it's Catherine's Lullaby.
Oh, ugh.
So yeah, the thing with the movie is that Evan, the captor, he's not a violent person, you know. He thinks it's his daughter, so it's a little tricky.
Yeah, that's the delusion is another, you know, thinking you're doing good. That's a very scary idea. You know, you've gone from two extremes, the blatant hurting of someone and wanting to get away with it, and then the person who thinks they're doing good. It's two very different emotional tracks. Where can people find you, just quickly before we get off your Sabas? Do you have a Twitter or anything like that, or social media or a website?
I do have. My name is Sabas Christy. You can find me on Facebook, but I have an IMDb profile, and there you can find where to, you know, email.
Yeah,
we're
in contact
stuff.
With you. Yeah. Okay, so it's SavvasChristou, and you can find him on there. And I recommend you do. It was a good film. And hopefully one day you and I won't be trapped in the computer with Philip. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop the. Hello, welcome to another session here of the Galactic Stars Film Festival. Hey, you know, we haven't mentioned any other things here. This is a little short we're dropping in here because this film festival's out across the world. And so we're getting people who, you know, have to find us from the other side of the planet. So understandably, things don't go well. But we haven't mentioned so far that if you would like to enter, the season is now open, especially since you're hearing this podcast right now. We are accepting submissions. If you go to Boston Galactic Stars on Film Freeway, feel free to submit, but I warn you, perhaps you might not be as good as the filmmaker we're talking to right now. Sherry, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, well, I am the kind of filmmaker you don't expect to be a filmmaker.
Oh, in what way?
Well,
what does
yeah,
that
because,
mean?
Well, because first I'm a woman.
I don't know if we don't expect women to be filmmakers. I know quite a lot of women filmmakers, but you are a woman. Why don't you expect women to be filmmakers?
Well, and also I'm a Chinese woman. And that, well, do you know any other Chinese woman filmmaker?
Let me look through my phone. Hold on.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I'm going to find some Chinese. Now, are you from America, Sherry?
No, actually, I was born in Taiwan. Okay,
Do you live in America?
Yeah, for the last 30 years.
Okay, sure. I know a lot of Chinese women filmmakers, yes.
Well, really?
Yes.
Wow. Maybe
Living
I can't hang out with them.
You should hang out with them. I can give you their numbers, but I will say this, it is a tough industry for women because it a lot like a lot of industries, it's men dominated. So thank you for being not only a woman, but a woman of a different ethnicity, in America making films. I'm glad to see you amongst our ranks. I'm very much pro women. I actually run another podcast, Sherry, called Let's Start a Cult. And in that podcast, in order to be for women, we are not having any male guests on for the entire year. So I love it when people come out and say loud and proud that they're a filmmaker. But yes, I know Chinese women filmmakers living in America.
Okay, well, and what to make me also a little different is that
I should mention this. Sherry has 98 heads. It's spectacular. She looks like, no, wait, what makes you unique?
Well, because I don't have any film training, and I only started doing that after I become semi-retired from my regular job.
What did you do before?
Well, I do all kinds of things, like, you know, I'm a real estate agent.
You're retired now. What did you retire from?
Well, I retired from doing everything else, like a real estate agent, a CPA, and, you know, pretty much that's about it. And
when it's not my everything. Kids, that's really kind of two versions of the same job.
No. But I'm also a mother, so when my kids goes to school, college.
Well, but you didn't retire from that. You're still a mother. They're not going to call you up now and go, Mom, I'm not your mom. I'm retired. I'm retired from being a mom.
Well, the thing is, they don't call you anymore when they go to college.
Oh, Sherry. Well, I'm talking. Hey, hold on a minute, Sherry. You were an hour late for our phone call. I tried to call you. So what's the deal, Sherry? Excuses.
See, ever since I decided to retire from my CPA profession, I started having really big problem with numbers. So actually, I thought the 6 o'clock your time was 5 o'clock your time. So,
where do you live, Sherry?
In California. So yeah, I mean, I kind of put that ability on
Sherry,
hold.
Do you watch TV at all?
Well, I watch TV only when I work on my computer, so I don't pay full attention.
But you don't hear, and then The Simpsons at 6:30 Pacific time, 9 o'clock, 9:30 Eastern. You don't hear that?
I think sometimes I do live in my virtual reality, so I live in a different world with different times.
Sherry, I will say this right away. You sound insane. What do you mean virtual reality?
No, I was just kidding. I was just throwing some words.
But it's a film festival and we do a lot of new media stuff. This is a podcast. Do you do virtual reality?
No, actually, I went to a film festival went to a seminar just to understand what virtual reality is. And it's nothing as I expected. So I was a little disappointed.
Sherry, I've got to manage you because this is getting But you said I live in my own virtual reality. What did you mean by that?
Well, I guess it's my mind is a little wired different than anybody else. Most people.
And that wiring doesn't include a clock, I guess.
Well, of course, yeah. We go digital.
We just got to get a watch inside there. Okay, Sherry. Great. You're the craziest person to be on the podcast so far. I'm loving it. Sherry, why don't you tell us about the films you made?
Okay, well... I make all kinds of films. I think what I sent you,
Do you want me to tell you what movie you sent?
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you the movie you got accepted, Sherry. Here's the movie I want you to talk about, Sherry, okay? Because I can't. We have to have this pointed. You sent us a music video called Chess Song, correct?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you talk about that music video?
Okay, actually, I wrote the song for another film festival, but I really appreciate you accepting it. I wrote the lyrics. So I got permission from the music composer to write lyrics to a music. It's actually a music piece. But then I wrote because last year, I was so lucky to be selected as Film of the Year by Hell Chess Film Festival. It is a film festival. They have chess competition. So this time I see them open. So I say, I'm going to write a song.
Hold on. Okay. So you're going to, this is so all over the place. What was accepted to the Chess Film Festival?
Last year, I have another film.
Another film was accepted to the Chess Film Festival.
Well, not only accepted, we won.
But film of the year. And was it also chess based?
No.
So why?
It's a fiction. Well, but the film festival is a film festival combined with a chess game, international chess game. So
then you got accepted, and then you that was a different film.
That was a different film.
And so then you wrote a song.
Yeah, let me brag about that. That was my first ever fiction film. I normally only do documentary. So I say I'm going to do a fiction film. So I wrote, directed, and cinema photographer myself and made a film. I submitted, and
yes, it was film of the year. Cher, we gotta go. This is my storytelling. I need to know why you made this other movie. So you go to this film festival, and you want to make a song.
Mm-hmm. To show them how I appreciate. But I never played chess in my life, so I actually had to Google on how to play chess. So I Googled and realized how to play chess, and I wrote a song. I wrote the story of chess players. Spirit into the song.
So then you made the song, and then you wanted to make a music video, or did you always know you were going to turn this into a music video, or does this song only appear in a music video?
Well, sorry to tell you, actually I like the music, so I wrote different versions of the song. There's one that I wrote, it's called New York versus New York, and that one with different lyrics was a finalist for New York Film Festival. But this one, I wrote it and I made the video, put it together and turned it into a music video.
Okay, great. Sherry, what are you working on next?
Oh, well, when you say next, do you mean in progress or?
Sherry, I could give a damn. Just talk about
it. Okay, well, then last Saturday I was working on a sci-fi movie. It's robots and aliens. And then I finished.
What about robots and aliens?
Well, it's like, okay, a princess from another star came to Earth because everybody, all her family were killed. They sent two robots to protect her. Of course, like a Terminator, then some other robot will come and try to kidnap her, right?
That's the story. So what were you doing on that film?
I wrote the story, and I think it's really cool. And I got my cast, and I finished. Actually, I make it sound a little crazy, but I actually finished my draft in one day, including filming. Then I thought, it's a 20-minute film. I said I wanted to make it into either a series or a feature. So I kind of put my casting call. Yeah, I put my casting call out, and guess who I found to play my bad robot?
I want to guess. I'm gonna guess. The dog from Frasier.
Not really, but I got Mr. Olympic, the one that just won the world bodybuilding champion. He's going to play my bad robot.
Wait, who is Mr. Olympic?
Yeah, it's like, like the bodybuilding.
I mean, I can speak for most people and say, no, I don't know. Mr. Olympic, is that a title or is that his name?
It's a title, but he has a name.
Look this up.
Mufasa. I don't really know, but I'm going to.
I see Mr. Olympia.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the one. Okay, I wasn't formally introduced to him yet, but I decided to give him the role just when I saw his picture. 6'3" and a muscle, my God, I can build a 2 Terminator with his muscle.
Well, so how are you gonna go for the robot effects?
Well, I do have, like you saw Residential Aliens, right? I do have a little bit animation, right?
So I have you plan to animate over him the whole time?
No, well, my films are mostly story driven. So I have a really, really interesting story. And then, I have a little bit special effect, and then it all comes together. If you like Residential Alien, See, that film, I won Best Sci-Fi in another film festival. I have two people only talking with a little bit special effect, but I won over the competition because my story is just really cool.
That's a great testament to making great filmmaking that, you know, and story writing, as opposed to focusing on a getting bogged down. You know, a lot of Hollywood movies nowadays really get bogged down in making the effects and things like that. And it's nice to hear that you're focusing on story and you really know what you like. Sherry, thank you so much for coming on. This was great. And we hope to see your films again. And we hope to see, maybe you'll write a song about this one, about podcasting. And I would love if you wrote a song about me being a robot podcasting. Would you write me a song? Would you make a song about me and this film festival?
Only if you give me copyright and promise me you won't sue me.
I will give you permission to write a song about me, Sherry. Feel free to write a song about me.
Yeah, sure. No problem.
Thank you so much.